Bless, O Lord, the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts. They might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, it's been a crazy week in the news. Everyone's talking about it. I alluded to it during the announcement time. The spread of the coronavirus and other illnesses have finally hit our shore in the United States. You probably heard the first case confirmed death is in my home place, where I come from, the Seattle area. It makes me think back of all the other pandemics we've had in the 80s and the 90s. Thinking about that also makes me think about how oftentimes these are attributed to a person, one person, and then it starts to spread. It's interesting because we talk a lot in the church about how we're all connected in the world and how we're all part of one great tapestry of humanity, but we rarely ever take it, I think, seriously until we come upon something like an illness or disease that runs rampant around the world, where people must be quarantined and isolated, and yet still the disease finds a way to claim victims at random. A virus starts with one person, spreads. You heard the term, I heard it too. I think maybe the first time I'd heard it, community spread. This was something I think would have been fully understood in the Judeo-Christian tradition. The Garden of Eden is where God lays out a plethora of produce and declares to Adam and Eve that's all theirs except the produce of one tree. The serpent convinces Eve and Adam, notice he is there too, that, hey, God's reserving that for God's self, because God knows if you eat, it'll be like him. And so, as Sarah said, the temptation was too strong to resist. For reasons, in my opinion, that have never adequately been explained, the knowledge opened their eyes, they saw their nakedness, and were ashamed to be seen by one another, and especially by God. In the Catholic tradition and others, this began the spread of original sin that has infected every person ever born. Paul, in his letter to Rome, fixates on sin as disobedience and how disobedience necessarily leads to death. Here he picks on Adam, which some may find quite refreshing since Eve usually is the one who gets the bad rap. Paul describes death as a virus. It spreads to all, but also it mutates. It doesn't necessarily look like it did when Adam contracted it. Everyone has it, as I said, so it makes it number one worst pandemic of all time. Now, we in the Reformed tradition don't conceive of sin as some type of genetic transmission the way that the original sin doctrine has conceived of it. And yet we also declare that we know it is necessary in some ways. We will sin. We are predisposed to it. We are incapable of not sinning, whether they be the sins of commission, what we do to ourselves or to others, or omission, what we fail to do to ourselves or for others. For Paul, Adam is less important as a historical figure and more of a representation of all humankind. One act of disobeying God starts a community spread of sin that humanity is powerless to stop. Paul seems to hammer on this point. The word one is used 13 times in 8 verses, 9 times when referring to Adam, and 4 times in reference to Jesus Christ. Paul wants to demonstrate that there is power in one for good or for ill, which has universal and eternal impact. In light of these 2 readings, then, we read from the Gospels the obedience that counters the disobedience. The devil is tempting Jesus, just as the serpent in the garden tempted Adam and Eve. But there are important distinctions in these 2 scenes. In the garden, Adam and Eve had plenty to eat until their bellies burst, and yet they did choose the one thing that they could not have. Jesus had nothing to eat. And yet, even when he was famished and had the power to satisfy his hunger and to exploit the power of God as God's son, he chose to abstain. Jesus could have harnessed and seized all the power the devil tempted with him, but that would have declared that Jesus was now the devil's subject and would have derailed Jesus from his mission. Had he given in, had he taken the easier way, the consequences for all humanity would have been devastating. We would never have known God's love for us. We would never have realized the salvation effected on the cross. We would have been lost in sin, which I think eventually would have infected all people to the point in which life itself would probably have been extinguished. Jesus refused to eat of the enticing fruit of the devil because he loves us. Because he loves us enough to hunger for us. He loves us enough to choose us not to satisfy or save himself, but to save and satisfy humanity. The power of the one spreads life to all by defeating sin and death. Lent is a communal journey. It starts with one Adam, me, you, those who have disobeyed, we who have strayed. It starts by self-examination, seeing ourselves as we truly are, prone to sin, enticed by that which we do not need, nor what will give us life. But it also starts with the one, Jesus Christ, who grants us the power to turn from sin, to be transformed, to look to him when we are tempted to disobey God, and to ask for strength. For the journey, we need the equipment, prayer, scripture, fasting from those things that have derailed us, giving ourselves to serve others, not just ourselves. But all along the journey, we need the reminder to draw power from the one who gives his life to us. It's real power. It's real life. Just as real as the supper before us. For in that first time Jesus met with his disciples to the last time at the last table, he said, "You are connected to me. I am the one. I am the one who will give you power to follow after me and to live the life that truly is life." In the final supper, he told his disciples to remember him, to bring back who he had been through how they live out their lives on earth, remembering that he is always with them. A power of the one always available for us. Today, when you eat this supper, I encourage you to think about that. Think about this as sustenance to start your journey. Think about God's power for you. The one who gave his life that others might live. All praise and glory to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.